There's no scripture reading today, and the kids are staying in the service, I believe. So, as I mentioned, it's a special time of sharing today because Vacation Bible School was just a couple of weeks ago, and yesterday about 20 of us had the privilege of going to San Francisco and joining about 2,000 other Christians from all over Northern California. It's an annual conference slash service project in the Tenderloin area with a ministry called City Impact. And I know a number of you have read the book Chasing God by Roger Huang. He's the founder and the, I guess he's not the general director anymore. His son is now the executive director of the ministry. But they have been just amazing in several decades of ministry to the needy in the Tenderloin area. And so about 20 of us went yesterday, and just an amazing time. Some of the folks were repeats from last year. Others were brand new. And I've been asking a number of them if they could be thinking and praying about something they might want to share from yesterday or from the VBS. Now, a number of folks were involved in both, the week of Vacation Bible School and yesterday's trip. So if you're thinking about sharing something for either one, can you just raise your hand so I'll have an idea of how many people are thinking about possibly sharing? Hopefully we'll see a few hands. Lift your hands up nice and high, okay, so I can see them. Just keep your hands up. Okay, one, two. Anybody on the side? Three. Anybody else? Okay, I know some others are probably thinking about it, maybe too nervous to raise their hand right now, but with a little bit of encouragement and maybe hearing some others share, they'll feel free. So who would like to go first? Okay. Everybody's looking at you, May. I don't know why, but we have a handheld mic. Yeah, okay. So, Michael, why don't you give the mic to May?
Hello? Okay. this is going to be on VBS. It's more personal. And I hope I won't cry because I've been thinking about my mother-in-law who passed this year. Jalen was just talking about her today. And, okay, with God's help, I could do this. She has been helping with VBS, as some of you know, the last few years. Always very cheerful and always tells me how much fun she had working with the kids. So this year was a little bit hard, but Carrie, you know, she took over. I mean, she really did. She arranged for everything. So, you know, in name I am co-leader, but in fact, Carrie was the one that kind of led us through VBS. And the first day, not feeling that good. I'm wearing black. Second day, I was wearing black. But hey, God was so good. God brought us the kids, even though I wasn't really sure that he was going to bring through again. But he did. God is faithful. And it's an amazing week. You know, he brought not only the kids, the children that came that we didn't know, but our helpers are great. You know, we have our helpers that rise to the challenge. And I think God used all of us. And I think it was a successful Vacation Bible School because of all that and how God used us. So thank you.
Thank you, May. Okay, who's planning to share next? You want to go ahead, Michael?
Okay. Thanks for making me cry, May. yesterday, I had the privilege of going with a group of people from our church to City Impact, and it was amazing. Started off with a time of worship led by Christian Hua, who's now the executive director of City Impact, and the Katinas. I have to say, our Katinas don't have anything on our worship team. Then we had some great speakers. John Ortenberg, he wrote the foreword on the book, Chasing God, Roger's first book. And he was an incredible speaker, very entertaining, and picked up the Dr. Seuss, which I grew up loving, so that was a lot of fun. And then Pastor Earl spoke about, you know, his experience with the 49ers, the Golden State Warriors, and the 49ers. I'm sorry? Yes, yeah, San Quentin. Thank you. And so it was great. And then from there, we took off and broke up into different groups and spread across the city and had an opportunity to, my family went off to the medical area. And so we had a chance to, serve 450 people of the Tenderloin that came through. And so Tiffany helped with registration. Rachel is helping out with translation. And I was in the booth for wound care and first aid, along with many others in our group. Tom and Patty were helping out in dental. Mariel was there kind of overseeing almost everything. DeVita was there too, so it was great. But beyond the opportunity to serve, which is always great, and being able to see God living in all these people that we often don't interact with, I think the thing that I want to share about is about Cliff Lau. For those of you that don't know him, Cliff was a family practice resident here at Methodist Hospital a number of years ago, and we had the privilege of having him join us in our Bible study for several years. And, you know, residency training is hard, and Cliff had his ups and downs, but his call was really to serve the underserved, the underprivileged. And so he was the one that actually introduced our church to the ministry of City Impact. And so for that, really grateful to Cliff. He went to one conference 3 years ago. He brought back the book. We started studying that in our Bible study, and that's been disseminated throughout the church, and the rest is history. So it's really impressive. But the thing that I wanted to share about Cliff was just the way that God's using him is amazing. We went out there, and there were some lulls in between seeing some people that were coming to the booth. And so I had a chance just to take a break and look around. And I really enjoyed watching Cliff, because clearly Cliff has made a huge impact in that area. So I saw people that were coming through with real needs, and Cliff was circulating around, and he probably knew most of those people there. And you could see their faces light up because he's been Jesus to each one of those people. And so that was really, really, really amazing. The other thing I heard about Cliff, besides seeing that in person, is also I saw how important he was to the ministry and the kind of love and respect he's engendered from the people that run the ministry. I learned from the director of the health clinic that the day that Cliff went out to interview for that job, he started sharing his testimony and how he really had a heart for the underserved. And he left the whole group of people that were interviewing him in tears because of, they said that, well, Cliff, you're our answer to prayer. So that was years in the making with Cliff struggling through residency, trying to find his way through training, wondering if he was going to make it to be a doctor. And to see him interacting with all those people and the way that he's touched so many lives is just a blessing to witness. So I just want to share that. Thanks.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did before? I thought, okay. Tony.
So.
I think I could only do it now.
I don't think so.
It's like I was at an auction and you scratch your head and they take you. Wow. City Impact really was a tremendous impact on a lot of people, and especially for the people in Tenderloin who's been ministered to by this group. It's just amazing at the number of resources that have come about to help them. And so I and Patty volunteered to help out in the dental screening area in the same gym as we're located with Michael and Davida and Mariel. And so we didn't know what to expect, whether we'd be doing treatment or whether we'd just be just doing a history. Had no idea what we were going to do, so it was kind of apprehensive. But once we got there, it was fortunate that we did sign up for this one area, because other people had signed up but didn't show up. So there was just one volunteer besides the two of us. So without us, there'd only been one volunteer to service all the people that were coming through for the screening. So it was kind of like I felt like it was a good thing God called us to go here and also to sign up for the dental screening. And they, at the briefing before we were doing the screenings, they told us that the most important thing was to develop relationships to these people, because a lot of them have no relationships and they're really struggling, homeless or mental problems or physical problems, and there is really nobody there to support them and encourage them. So they stressed to us to really try to talk to them and just trying to get to know them. The first person that came to me, I was just given the briefing. I said, okay, let me just kind of ask him, well, how is he doing? How long has he been in this area? He goes, well, I've just been here for 2 months. I said, oh, okay. And he goes, yeah, I just got out and I'm just trying to get back on my feet. Just got out. So I said, well, what was that? He goes, well, I've been in prison for 25 years since I was 18 years old, and I just got out. And I said, wow, you know, that just hit me, because, I mean, you look at them, all these people that you look at, they can be one of us on the outside, but inside you just, everybody has something, and some darkness or some struggle that they're dealing with. And I was just glad that there was City Impact with the resources that they have. They gave us a sheet to give to them. They call it a holistic prescription. And there were items that they could attend. They had the church service on Sundays. They had the cafe worship and meals Tuesday through Friday. They had the rescue mission. They also had an opportunity for them to volunteer. So I was so glad I had that to encourage him and to give him something to grab onto to help him to get back into mainstream society and to be productive. And just from that start, you know, everybody that I saw came from just different perspectives. And I saw a young woman in her 30s. She looked like she could be, you know, somebody just working and living, but she's been homeless for a year. Just shocked me that you look at her, you didn't think that she would have those situations or circumstances in her lives, but people do. And it just struck me that God places us in situations where we can show his love and to encourage them and to give them hope, because a lot of people don't have hope. You know, it was pretty evident. And given their circumstances, I just wanted to share a verse for you. It's in 1 Peter. I just have to bring it up. Sorry about that. First Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I'm just so thankful. I thank God and I thank this church for bringing us the idea of helping out, because it really does. I mean, you think you're helping them, but a lot of times just through helping and talking, they really bless us too. I mean, when I was driving home, I was exhausted. My eyes were so heavy, but I wasn't tired for some reason. I mean, God just gave me the energy to go through this day and to be an encouragement to these people. So, thank you.
Thanks, Tom. All right, anybody else want to share Vacation Bible School or yesterday's ministry? Oh, in the back. Okay, yeah. So good to see you, Lisa. There you go.
Okay, so Pastor said he wouldn't take me home unless I spoke today.
That's a lie. That's an absolute lie.
So when he put that email out that there was going to be a worship in San Francisco, I thought, you know, I'm really about serving. But I thought this would be a great opportunity to be in the Tenderloin District. So I was with Grant, and I was like, where do we go? I said, I'm just going to follow you because I don't know what I'm doing. And he's like, well, I've never done it either. I said, yeah, but okay, but I'm still following you. So we were told when we met with our group was that you couldn't pray with the people. Oh, so Grant and I, we were deliverers, and so we would have to go to the hotels or apartments and deliver the food. And I had no idea what that meant, right? I was thinking, okay, so is somebody going to pull a tray and we're just going to be handing it out? So what ended up happening was that you have boxes that you have to carry with your group, and you have to go to these hotels, and they're all, they're in lockdown, so you have to be buzzed in. So the first building we went to, they wouldn't let us in. So then we went to another building, and everybody was really good about letting us in. So anyways, we were told we couldn't pray, but they encourage you to have conversation, because a lot of these people don't have anybody. So my experience with the first one, the guy that was our leader, he paired us up with people the guy I was paired up with has done this before. So he goes, why don't you go with him so he'll know what to say? And so Grant was with Richard and another guy, can't remember their names, and then was another group. So the guy was with, I thought, okay, cool, I don't have to say much because he's going to know what to do. So the first door we walked, you get in and you knock on the doors, and a lot of them didn't even answer the door. And so you're supposed to say, hello, City Impact, we have a free meal for you. So then you kind of wait for them, and you wait for them to answer, and if you don't, then you go to the next room. And we're kind of all on the same floor, but we have different rooms to go to. And so you're supposed to ask their name, and you're supposed to remember their room number. So the guy I went with, we knock on the first door, and the other person on the door, he says, who is it? Oh, we're from City Impact. So he opens the door, and right when he opened the door, the room smelled like weed. Oh, marijuana, whatever. And so then we're like, oh, hi, would you like a meal? Sure. What's your name? And I can't remember his name now. And so we have to introduce ourselves, and then we say, oh, so then I said, so how are you? And he's like, are you the cops? No. And so we're like, okay, well, have a good day. And then we left. I didn't know how to engage in conversation, and I thought my partner did, but I think he was kind of like, So we went to three different hotels, and it was just a really nice experience. I like to help and serve different occasions here, like Joey Lee, I'll volunteer for her, but this experience for me, it was more like just touching the lives of what we take for granted. We have family, we have people, and these people don't. And you could just tell it was, they're so grateful. The ones that could just even get up and answer the door, they were just so grateful for you to acknowledge them. And I'm so committed. I'm down to go next year too. It was an awesome experience. If you haven't done it, I really suggest sign up next year. It's awesome. And yeah, so I already told my kids they need to go.
Thanks, Lisa. But tell the truth, Lisa, I did not threaten you about not bringing you, right? Okay. Matt, thank you.
Hi. City Impact was an amazing place. When you think about the Tenderloin, you usually draw conclusions that a lot of them are older, destitute, they've had troubles, they can't make it in society. But there is a generation of kids there that City Impact also addresses. City Impact runs a K-8 Christian school. And in order for any of those kids to be available to that, they have to be sponsored or have the funds to attend. There is, I don't know what the numbers was, but there was a large population of kids in the area that are affected by this. They have to deal with the situation, the environment of having the homeless sleeping on the sidewalks, walking past them to get to whatever school they go to or how they spend their days. But May and I were privileged enough because they ran a carnival for the kids there, and we got to work the games area. And just the amount of excitement and joy that the kids had in playing the games, it was amazing. You couldn't tell that they were in a situation that they were in. They probably had no idea that where they were living and what they were doing is not normal in our society, but to them, it was just fun. And it just touched my heart that, you know, they were playing the games and I had a dot drop, and when they get a high score, their faces light up. It was amazing. So I just wanted to share that there's a City Impact, you know, focuses on the whole society in there, the community. They go from the oldest to the youngest, and they just provide everything for them. It was amazing.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
So I'll say a few things about VBS. I led the music this year, and it was fun as always, and just seeing all the kids and all that energy built up. You have to have a lot of energy to keep up with these kids, and as much as I like leading the song, sometimes it's hard for me just to watch them because they're just running around. And honestly, some of them belong in straitjackets, but that would not be cool. But I was really impressed that the helpers, Greg, Grant, Nicole, Mario, Justin, Brandon, you know, kids their age were really patient and non-judgmental. And I say that because some of these kids show up and they are just so like crazed, and they're running around and they're tearing through the halls, and our helpers just go out there, pick them up very calmly, and bring them back. And I, you know, the judgmental side of me said, gosh, what are the parents feeding them when they get here? Do they tell them that they need to behave? And so I'm thinking, I wonder if it's some kind of bad parenting. But I didn't go there because I saw that our own staff didn't really, they were not judgmental towards the kids or the parents. And I think their persistence and consistency in keeping the kids together no matter what they did, holding them and laughing with them, even if they were in deep trouble, the kids started to bond to them. And I saw a lot of that. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, our helpers are going to be great parents when they grow up because they're learning how to be very patient and very kind, even though some of these kids are just a handful. And I reflect on my own parenting, and I think I picked up a couple of pointers on how to be very patient. And so that was my take home lesson for VBS. And with the teachers, the same way, a lot of patience, a lot of love. And I think year after year, parents bring their kids to CCC for this program because they know that they can leave and not be worried about how the children are treated. Just God's love is everywhere. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Ted. Actually, can we just have everybody who was involved in Vacation Bible School in any way, if you could just stand for a moment so everybody could see all the folks who were involved in any way. Just go ahead and stand. If you were involved with Vacation Bible School, please stand. Okay, just please stand if you were involved, okay, helping out. Okay, all these folks, a lot of folks obviously aren't here. Okay, thanks so much. Okay, have a seat. Okay, now, everybody who went yesterday, let me just give one more thing. Everybody who went yesterday, could you stand if you were a part of the team that went to San Francisco? Just go ahead and stand up for a moment. Stand up, okay? Stand up, all right? Good. Okay, thank you. So I think Carrie would like to share something.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Lewis, for just coordinating all this for everybody to attend the city impact. It took a lot to get everybody to even go and then to register everybody. And then he printed out all our tickets. And so thank you, Pastor Lewis. But I'm going to talk about VBS. And I really don't like to talk in front of people. And so I was hoping that Pastor Lewis didn't pick on me, and so thank you for not picking on me, so I'm doing it on my own. So God is leading me. And so, but VBS, yes, like Ted said, some of the children, I believe it's because they're so young that they aren't in a structured environment that they feel like they're at home at our church. And so some of them are repeat children, and so then they know how we are with, just being nurturing. So we have a lot of helpers that are nurturing. As you can see from the, I hope a lot of us saw the VBS video last week, but you can see from that. And so, but May, you are instrumental to the VBS, so don't put it all on me. You are very instrumental. She led the teachers, and so that's a big part because that's the most important tool from the VBS program. I mean, the rest is fun and games and, experimental. So the learning part is what we're really, focused on in conveying to the children. So so thank you to May. Give her a hand. So as far as city impact, I didn't know what to expect, but I probably wouldn't have signed up unless I, had other people signing up to go to, and then plus there was room. But when I first got there, Matt was good, and he was a good driver too. And thank you, David, to let us use your van. But when I got off, and I didn't know exactly what the Tenderloin area was, and so I knew that we were going to be seeing homeless, but I didn't know what area. And when we went towards the city impact facility, I said, oh my God, I want to go back home because the smell, I'm not very good with smells, and so with a homeless area. And so, but once I got there, it's a lot cleaner. I mean, the facility itself. And so I didn't have the opportunity like many of the others that actually saw to serve the homeless. And so I was in the back doing the meal prep. So Lisa was taking, she was talking about taking the meals to the hotels and other buildings. And so we, my friend and I, we were doing the meal prep. And so to me, I thought, well, this is just like any type of, service where it doesn't really impact as much because it's an assembly line. That's what I was working on, an assembly line where you, have this tray, this styrofoam container, and you're just putting food, and then, and out it goes into a box for Lisa and others to pass out. And so, but as I thought about it, and I said, well, Pastor Lewis wants us to do a testimony, I said, well, I don't know exactly how much I could say about my role at City Impact, but I'd like to really talk about the people that I was working with. There were a lot of people that are repeat helpers, and so you can tell the enthusiasm from the helpers that they enjoy what they're doing because they know that it is a worthwhile project for them. And so you get, you know, all age groups too. They're from the teens up to 80 years old, and they come from just not from, you know, the local area, but I think the pastor and some of the workers came from Honolulu, right, Pastor Lewis? And so anyways, and I think there were someone that I talked to came from Michigan, and so so anyway, it's really a worthwhile event that they put out. And and when we did get to get together during the worship hour, their theme was worship and justice. I mean, we all know what worship means. That means to put our eyes and our focus on God. But in that sermon, it just made my mind turn around, and that I focus on myself, like I was saying, that I was focusing on myself, that I didn't want to go through this tenderloin because I don't like the smell, and just seeing all the homelessness and the dirtiness around that area. And so what justice meant in that worship meeting that the director was talking about is that it's justice for those that are, the underserved, the ones that are needy. And so we're supposed to not only focus our eyes on God, the worship part, but the justice part for those that needs us to help them. And so they deserve the justice too. So I said, okay. So it was a learning experience. And so, I have to get over my weakness about being afraid to be with the homeless. One of the pastor who founded this SF City Impact, his son was saying that he was the MC. His son was saying that his father would always wash his hand because this is when he was trying to do good for the community, the homeless community. And every time he shook or got contact with the homeless, that he had to wash his hands. And so I said, "Ding, that's me too." I would have to do that too. And so, but that's my weakness. And so that's what I have to overcome. And so hopefully by, going to more of these outreach and missionary work, that I can, have a change of heart as far as how to serve. And so, but so it's a very good event to go to. And it was very inspirational because the MC said, this event started, when they started, it was only 200 people that had participated. And that was back in 2010, I believe. Was that, Pastor Lewis? But anyways, now in 2016, they grew to 2,000. And so before closing, the director of this event conference had said that they don't know how they're going to do it, but their mission is to go to the Billy Graham Stadium and have 6,000 people. So we're supposed to invite 2 people when we go sign up next year. So I'm counting on some of us, being that, partnership and going next year. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Carrie. And thank you for all who shared. Appreciate that. Just to wrap it up real quick, if others wanted to share, maybe didn't have a chance, come see me afterward and we'll work it in the next Sunday or so. We can continue to share. But I just wanted to share a verse from James chapter 1. And many have heard this passage before, but James chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27. It says, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So what God's telling us, and I think some of the speakers talked about this yesterday during the conference, is that we definitely want to worship, focus on God, giving him his worth, praising him, thanking him for how great he is. But then worship is to work its way out into our through us, kind of like our vision statement, to better experience and share God's love. You can't just have the first part of experiencing his love and seeing how great God is and then not do anything. I mean, the whole point is God is doing something in us so that it can overflow into the lives of people around us, especially those in need. And, you know, I appreciate the honesty. Several of you who went yesterday shared, it wasn't all, you know, just wonderful, great, and just praising God. It's just, there was some hardship, and there was some sacrifice, and it's not a pleasant experience, the whole time we're there. Walking around through those streets, I mean, I don't like the smelling, some of those smells either, in the homeless areas, and I think everybody understands what we're talking about. It's hard. But then you think, some of these people are living there who are ministering intentionally, and we're there for one day. And last year, I was a greeter, and I didn't know quite what to expect either, but I think I shared when I came back, shaking hands with folks who, they're in all kinds of conditions. They look out like all different things, and you're shaking their hands. After I shook a few hands, I kind of went and hid behind something I could hide and take my little hand cleaner thing out, do that and go back, shake a few more hands, come in. And I thought, okay, this is getting ridiculous. I can't keep doing this every 5-10 minutes. So this year, when I went, I was a greeter again. I just sort of asked God, okay, I'm just by faith, I'm just going in there and I'm going to shake hands and touch these people and whatever, and I'm just not going to worry about the germs and all that stuff. Excuse me. And I think I shared this last year, and as several others have shared, the experience of going there, and yeah, you give somebody some food or some other kinds of medical care, whatever, and we're helping them in different ways, but so many of them are so grateful for the smallest little thing. And the smallest little thing I can think of is shaking their hand and looking them in the eye and just introducing yourself and thanking them for being there. Just having a little conversation where you're treating them like a real person. Not just as a project, not just as a needy person who's coming to get some help, but as a human being. And just doing that simple little thing, it was pretty amazing to me the kind of responses I was getting from the vast majority of these folks. And I just really appreciate that, that going as a team, there were like 20 of us and three vehicles. It turned out we didn't need three minivans. We just needed two minivans and my car. And in my car, I had Grant, that's Greg. I had Grant and Lisa. And we enjoyed the fellowship driving there and back, talking about all different kinds of things. And I'm sure the other vehicles had the same kind of fellowship. But as I think Carrie mentioned, and maybe others, that this is an annual event. And it started about 7 or 8 years ago with 200 people. And it's grown to 2,000. So as was announced yesterday at the end, they're moving to a new venue next year that will seat 6,000. Instead of 2,000, they're hoping to triple it. Now, these people have a lot of faith. They have a lot more faith than I do. But I'm thinking this year, actually, with 20 people in 2,000, we had 1% of their whole thing, the 2,000. So if they're going to get 6,000 next year, we need to kind of ramp it up, and hopefully we'll bring 60, 1%. So it's obviously a stretch, but I hope we can start praying about it. Those who've already been, either last year or this year, can definitely plan to go next year and invite a friend. As it was shared by several, the age groups there help serving teenagers all the way through seniors. And that was one of the blessings I wanted to share about VBS. I think I've mentioned this before. And whenever there's a big project at the church, to see folks involved from the youngest to the oldest all working together, that's a very special blessing. And to see the kind of love, to see the faithfulness, to see the sense of, we're experiencing and sharing God's love and seeing it in action is such an incredible blessing. And as I think Michael and others mentioned, Cliff Lau, some of you have not had the privilege of meeting him. He was here for several years. We sent him off last year because he was going off to be the first resident doctor for this ministry, City Impact, in the Tenderloin. And he's part-time there. And eventually he'll work hopefully more into full time, but Cliff is such an amazing guy. He really is. And as several of us were just sharing with him about how much God has used him to influence all of us, you know, toward City Impact, the Chasing God book, everything else. He keeps, and very sincerely, he wants us to know, you know, that what God's teaching him is that every time he's able to do something for God, wherever it might be, however big of a sacrifice it may appear to be the rest of us, he's realizing how much God just blesses him in return. And he was sharing that with us yesterday near the end of the conference and making it just so clear to us that it's so true. That we think we're doing this for God, we think we're serving people, whatever, but in reality, God is giving us so much more. And as he said, you know, you cannot outgive God. Every time you take a step of faith and do something, you know, God in return will bless us in ways that we're not even, you know, thinking that is possible. So, you know, I just appreciate everyone who had a chance to share. And by the way, the VBS, you know, for I've been here, this is the eighth summer, and, you know, we've done it at least 7 years in a row. At the end of the VBS, we have a survey form that we pass out to the parents and the families just to get some feedback, you know. And there's one thing in there, they rate the whole overall program 1 to 5, you know, 1 being, you know, pretty bad and 5 being excellent. Every year, if you toss out the 1 high and the 1 low score, it's always unanimously 5. And the same thing was true this year. So, you know, it really is encouraging to see these families who are so grateful. And they see what's happening. They see the young people, they see the elderly, whatever, all working together and serving in this way. And it's just such a privilege to be a part of that. And Carrie and May, I know they keep tossing the credit back and forth. No, that was her. Obviously, it's both of them. And, you know, the two of them help coordinate the whole program. And then just, there's so many other workers and volunteers to help make it possible. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. And again, if some of you did think about sharing for VBS and City Impact and we just ran out of time, let me know. And we'll definitely work you in the next week or two, okay? Let's close in prayer. Our Father God, thanks again for this time of sharing. We thank you so much for the brothers and sisters who were able to serve and share your love with the kids during Vacation Bible School a couple of weeks ago. And thank you for the privilege that a number of us had yesterday to go to San Francisco and be a part of the City Impact Conference Service Project. And for just the different ways that we could share your love in a very tangible and practical way. Thank you so much for how you've blessed us through those times of service. We got to see what an awesome God you are, and just to experience your love and your working in and through us. What an incredible privilege that is. And so, Father, we anticipate a great year next year as others will think about going and partnering together. Father, we give you all the praise and thanks, and thank you so much for each of the brothers and sisters who shared today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So as we reflect upon whether or not we want to serve next year for City Impact, let's sing Make Me a Servant. Let's pray for this time of offerings.
Father God, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, and how you just blessed this church, Lord, and even as today's sharing of either VBS or